Protesting against this treatment by federal agents at Portland's ICE facility, a field office on McAdam, since mid-June. Many argue for revoking the facility's permit to operate in Portland. While one group calls for its closure, many of their allies advise a different approach to counter the effects of ICE in Portland. Both groups want to help those targeted by the administration. Advocates for closing the facility argue it would be a major step towards keeping people safe from aggressive government forces in Oregon. Those forces have ignored human rights and legal standards since Donald Trump created an unusually high quota for the department this year. The expectation is 3,000 deportations a week, or 1 million a year, should they meet this grotesque goal. Advocates for focusing more intently on directly assisting people at risk of deportation, legal or otherwise, argue the building's closure would do little to help these individuals. However, those opposed to focusing on eliminating the facility argue that the process of locating detained individuals becomes increasingly difficult once folks from Oregon are transported out of the state, very often to Tacoma. For this reason, they advise the focus be less symbolic and more immediately practical. Proponents say the Portland's ICE facility closure would be just the first step, and centers in Tacoma and elsewhere would be next. Trump's administration has already deported over 40,000 people since February. His policy changes at the White House have meant many sent away were denied the due process, which normally accompanies the process of deportation.
The Portland Police Bureau and the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office are seeking to amend an administrative directive regarding police personnel files. The change may have a major impact on prosecutions in the region. The directive, 0320.00, governs the release of information from an officer's personnel file. Defense attorneys can request this information if they have a reasonable grounds to believe that the file may contain, quote, potential exculpatory evidence, unquote. Additionally, they are legally entitled to any such evidence discovered by the prosecution over the course of their investigation. The famous 1963 Supreme Court case, Brady versus Maryland, established these rights nationwide. Exculpatory evidence takes a number of forms. The two most common are evidence that suggests the defendant's innocence or evidence that an officer involved in the prosecution of the defendant has a history of relative misconduct. Multnomah County has previously invested the right of discretion in the district's attorney's office. Under the previous language, the Portland Police Bureau was instructed to, quote, err on the side of disclosure when providing personnel files to the prosecution. With a direct district attorney's office deciding what ultimately merited disclosure to the defense, the police bureau now seeks to narrow this obligation of disclosure. The proposed language reads that the police bureau should, quote, exercise due diligence to identify and report potential exculpatory evidence, unquote, rather than err on the side of disclosure. It further states that, quote, allegations that cannot be substantiated are not credible or have resulted in exonerated, not sustained, or unfounded findings are generally not potential exculpatory evidence, unquote. Any such evidence would likely not be released to the prosecutor. What qualifies as a substantiated or unsubstantiated allegation would be left up to the staff of the Portland Police Bureau. This highly specific change could have dramatic consequences by giving the police bureau greater latitude in deciding what is or isn't relevant evidence for a given case. The bureau will submit less evidence to the state prosecutor, reducing the amount of evidence a prosecutor is obliged to disclose to the defense. This would obligate the defense to request evidence from the police department directly, such a request would require a hearing, and if the request is approved, the police bureau would have a certain length of time to comply, adding two additional delays to the trial and creating significant additional work for defense attorneys. Oregon has suffered from a lack of public defenders and public defense staff for years, and routine criminal cases are taking months or years to see trial due to the shortage. Additionally, delays could be catastrophic to Oregon's criminal justice system. Additionally, the directive does not address known systemic issues within the district attorney's office. The office has been criticized for years, and its failure to disclose known exculpatory evidence, for example, a high-profile case against anti-war protesters on the Portland State University campus, was dropped in January when it was revealed that prosecutors had withheld exculpatory video evidence from the defense. District Attorney Nathan Vasquez condemned that failure, but has not announced any plans to address the system's issues leading to this and other instances of withheld evidence. How this administrative change would address this, this longstanding problem is unclear.
You are listening to a summer membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our goal is to raise $50,000 by June 29th. We'd like to remind you that you can renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by going online to kboo.fm/give. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, your in-depth look behind the headlines. At 6, it's Rising Up with Sanal. Then at 7, it's Once Upon a Time featuring poet Muhammad Bader. Tonight's weather will be cloudy but dry with a low of 57. Tomorrow will be sunny and clear with a high of 77. On this day in history, in 1905, the crew of the battleship Potemkin staged a mutiny against their commanding officers. They revolted after being told to eat rotting meat infested with maggots and return to duty. They were successful in overthrowing their commanders and obtained asylum in Romania. The quote of the day is Jose Arguelles, New Age mystic and peace activist, who said, quote, "In terms of spaceship Earth, the wrong crew is in command, and it's time for a mutiny."
Governor Tina Kotek recently expressed concerns about Multnomah County's Preschool for All programs now. She has given county leaders a deadline to make changes. In a press release yesterday, Kotek said, quote, "I stand firm in my position that the county must walk and chew gum at the same time, continue to serve the children it is serving, amend the tax, and fix the program before the next tax year to reduce the burden on Multnomah County residents," end quote. Jessica Vega Peterson, chair of the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, responded forcefully. Vega Peterson sent a message to OPB saying, quote, "It's disappointing that the governor is doubling down on undercutting a program that is successfully serving thousands of young children, building a much-needed early education workforce, and allowing thousands of parents to participate in our wider workforce in the largest county in our state, as a means to push for drastic cuts for the wealthiest taxpayers," end quote. Earlier this week, Senate Democrats amended Senate Bill 106 to sunset the Preschool for All program in 2 years. They meant to prohibit Oregon's most populous county from continuing its special income tax to fund preschool or early childhood education programs. That proposal has not advanced. Preschool for All, launched in 2022, offering slots to more than 700 youngsters in Multnomah County, officials do say the program is on track to provide early education to 3,800 kids next year. But that number is still far from the child care and preschool demand. Officials also estimate the program will need to expand to 11,000 slots to realize its goal of free universal preschool for all families by 2030. That was the promise made to voters 5 years ago. The program charges 1.5% on earnings above $125,000 annually for individual taxpayers or above $200,000 for households. Taxpayers are charged at a 3% marginal rate on income above $250,000. The governor has been concerned high-income families are leaving Portland to avoid paying the preschool tax. She has also pointed out problems implementing the Preschool for All program and complained about unspent tax money. Kotek wrote yesterday, quote, "The program, as it stands, cannot fulfill its promise to Oregon's children. It is breaking beneath its own weight. With at least $485 million in unspent funds combined with spotty implementation, scope creep, and a line of providers waiting on the other side of stacks of paperwork to serve families while tax dollars continue to be collected," end quote. A recent audit demonstrated the fact Multnomah County has collected hundreds of millions of dollars in excess of what it has spent. Vega Peterson has noted Preschool for All passed with support of nearly two-thirds of voters and feels any changes should be made in partnership with the public. At a press conference this week, some 100 supporters of Preschool for All lobbied against the push from Kotek. Kotek still apparently wants to make the program work better rather than ending it. She called for, quote, a statewide plan to improve access to affordable child care and preschool across the states.
Oregon legislature votes to limit the places where conceal and carry permit holders can conceal and carry. The Community Safety Firearms Act, or Senate Bill 243, also bans the sale of attachments, which would increase the firing power of semi-automatic weapons. Opponents of the bill, who are Republican, argue their party's talking points that the bill will punish, unquote, law-abiding citizens for the crimes of others. Democrats argued that the limits would only apply to public buildings where clear signage must be posted at the entrance. Democrats also say reducing the number of shots fired per minute will limit the numbers of deaths should there be additional mass shootings. There have been 4 mass shootings this year alone. Semi-automatic weapons, while always having another bullet ready in the chamber, will only fire one bullet at a time. The bill outlaws items which modify the weapon to shoot a stream of ammunition from a single trigger pull. Automatic weapons typically fire between 500 and 1,000 bullets per trigger pull. The bill has already passed the Senate, and with one amendment, faces a final vote today.
Trade talks between U.S. President Donald Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney ended Friday with no definite return date set. Canada's decision to assess a digital service tax on U.S. technology companies doing business in their country sent the U.S. team back to look for answers. Trump called the tax a blatant attack on U.S. technology firms and promised on social media to make Canadians pay to do business with the United States of America. Trump said he's terminating all trade discussions with Canada, effective immediately, and that he would announce new tariffs on the country within the next week. Trade talks between the U.S. and Canada appeared to be improving after Canada's new prime minister took office. A trade deal seemed almost a lock between the two nations, but today Trump called for Canada to return to the penalty box. Trump said, quote, "We have all the cards. We have every single one. Economically, we have such power," end quote. Carney's office said in a statement his government would, quote, "continue to engage in these complex negotiations with the United States in the best interest of Canadian workers and businesses," end quote. listening to the KBOO Summer Membership Drive on the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is John Gioppi, and our engineer is Jasmine Moneymaker. Special thanks to Anthony Lizowitz, Antonia Gonzalez. The interim evening news director is Hannah Francis. A podcast of the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Dave Johnson.
And I'm John Nelson. All our KBOO programs are made possible by support from our members. KBOO is currently in our summer fundraising drive, and our goal is to raise $50,000 by June 29th. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Counterspin.